Hey everyone, today we've got some super interesting topics lined up. Let's dive right in. First off, have you seen that project about the exploded view of a mechanical watch? It's really fascinating. What's the deal with that?
Oh yeah, it's all about showcasing the intricate details of a mechanical watch using resin casting techniques. They spent like 15 hours on it, which is intense. You can see all the gears and springs suspended in resin, which really makes it pop.
That sounds so cool. I can imagine it really highlights the craft of watchmaking. Did it get a lot of attention?
Definitely. It got over 800 points on Hacker News and more than 100 comments. People are really into not just watches, but the whole creative display side of things.
Wow, I think that's impressive. Did anyone say what they thought about using it as an educational tool?
Yes. Some folks think it could really help people understand the mechanics behind watches. Like, it's one thing to read about how watches work, but seeing it all laid out like that, that's a game changer.
For sure. But I wonder, what did others say about the practicality of these projects?
Well, some users were a bit skeptical. They questioned whether the time investment was worth the effort from a business perspective. Like, is it even commercializable?
That's a good point. It's all about that balance between art and practicality. Did it spark any thoughts on other mechanical devices?
Yeah, it really got people thinking. There were discussions about using similar methods for other mechanical devices and creating unique display pieces for watch retailers.
I love that. Moving on to something techie, have you heard about Google's Tensor Processing Units, or TPUs? They seem to be quite the topic lately.
Oh, for sure. They're specialized chips made for machine learning. It's interesting because they're like serious competitors to NVIDIA chips.
Right. And I heard that Google really focuses on internal usage with these chips, like maximizing rental margins rather than selling them outright.
Exactly. Google's market cap is around $2 trillion, while NVIDIA's is at $3.5 trillion. It's strategic for Google to keep them exclusive to maintain their edge.
Makes sense. But do you think there's a demand for TPUs outside of Google?
That's a hot topic. Some think Google should sell TPUs because it could be a big revenue source. Others argue that keeping them exclusive is better for their competitive advantage.
It's like a classic business dilemma, right? But I wonder how TPUs compare to other options, like FPGAs.
Yeah, that came up too. They have their comparison, with some saying that hardware-software integration is what really maximizes efficiency.
And speaking of efficiency and data, let's jump to something a bit more controversial, p-hacking in startups. That's a real hot-button issue, isn't it?
Totally. The idea is that startups manipulate data or test designs to hit statistically significant results. It really messes with the whole concept of evidence-based decision-making.
Right, and I heard it can really skew people's perceptions about a product's effectiveness.
Exactly. Accepting a p-value threshold of 0.05 can be dangerous because it means there's still a 5% chance those results are a fluke.
That's quite the gamble. What was the community's take on this piece?
It sparked a lot of discussions. Some argued that p-values aren't guarantees of effectiveness and emphasized that hypothesis testing isn't a substitute for qualitative insights.
That's very true. Was there a divide in opinions about the need for rigorous testing in startups?
Yeah, definitely. Some think they shouldn't have the same scrutiny as medical research findings, while others think they should.
It's like how much testing is too much. And did anyone touch on A/B testing?
Oh, for sure. A bunch of comments criticized the over-reliance on A/B testing, saying sometimes more intuitive decision-making is better.
That's an interesting perspective. Now let's pivot to something a bit lighter. LibreDirect. Have you checked that one out? It's all about privacy.
Yes, it's a neat tool that redirects popular sites to more privacy-focused alternatives. It got a lot of buzz on Hacker News, too.
I heard it has great potential for enhancing privacy. How do users feel about it?
Many users were excited. They feel it gives them more agency over their personal data. It's like taking control back from all those tracking mechanisms.
Nice. But I also heard there's a catch when it comes to using these alternatives.
Exactly. Some express skepticism because many of these alternatives can become unreliable or get taken down by big companies.
That's frustrating. What about performance issues? Did that come up?
Yeah, a few commenters pointed out that mainstream sites often have excessive demands due to all that JavaScript, and these tools could help alleviate that.
So is safety and privacy still a concern with these alternative front ends?
Definitely. There were a few mentions about alternative front ends potentially logging user activities, which makes people anxious.
Totally understandable. Now, shifting gears again, let's talk about Git Notes. Have you heard about that? It's like the coolest feature that nobody uses.
Absolutely. Git Notes let you attach notes to commits without cramming it into commit messages. It could really add useful context.
Wow. That sounds super helpful, yet it's underused?
Yeah, it received great feedback though, over 500 points on Hacker News. Developers are realizing how beneficial they can be.
What do they see as the main advantage?
A lot of people say it helps to document internal decisions and keeps a better track of commits. It's like having a detailed history.
Nice, but are there challenges with using Git notes?
For sure. Some users find them cumbersome, especially when rebasing. Yet they're still seen as very valuable.
So, it's kind of a trade-off? You get the detailed context, but you deal with some complexity?
Exactly.
Shifting to more serious stuff, did you hear about the US bombing Iranian nuclear sites? What's the scoop on that?
Yeah, it's a huge topic. The military intervention has prompted a lot of international debate about regional stability and US-Iran relations.
What was the reason behind that move?
It was a strategic timing thing, employing advanced technology, you know, those bunker buster bombs. They're designed for heavy fortifications.
Yikes. Sounds serious. How are people reacting?
Well, it's raised some real concerns about escalating tensions in the region. And with over 1,500 personnel involved, it's really worrying.
I can imagine. And what about the impact on civilians?
Yeah, the reports from the front lines highlight immediate effects on civilian populations. It's not good.
That's tough to hear. Looking at a different topic, have you come across the new programming language called Sound as Pureform, or SAPF? It's designed for audio DSP?
Oh, totally. It blends elements from SuperCollider, APL, and Forth. People are really digging it for creative audio work. It's been getting some attention.
Sounds interesting. So what's got folks excited about SAPF?
Users seem to like its unique syntax and the functionality it offers for musical synthesis. Plus, it's been open sourced recently, which helps with accessibility.
So it's been around since 2011, but is just now open source?
Exactly. That means more people can mess around with it.
Nice. But do you think the syntax could be a little tough to wrap one's head around?
For sure. One user thought it was esoteric, but once you get the hang of it, it's really valuable for audio DSP.
So there's some learning curve, but worth it in the end? What about APL and Forth enthusiasts?
Some suggested they should work together more. The paradigms can really complement each other.
That sounds promising. What's next on the agenda? Any updates on type inference?
Yes. Bruno Oliveira's work on type inference is stirring up a lot of excitement. It's all about how programming languages handle types, mentioning Python and Scala.
Right, and what have people been saying about it?
People are really interested in how to model type systems without heavy type enforcement. Like they're looking at type lambda expressions in Scala 3.
That's fascinating. Have any discussions compared TypeScript and Scala 3?
Yep, some folks pointed out that both languages share impressive type functionalities.
Nice. I know it can get a bit geeky, but it's brilliant to see those comparisons. Finally, what about that new tool for makefiles, Mbake? It sounds like a game changer.
Mbake is awesome. It formats and lints makefiles, which is super needed. It's been in the works for like 50 years.
Wow. How's it being received?
It scored 219 points on Hacker News. People are really interested in its features, especially how it organizes write single quote dot phe write single quote targets.
Nice. But I've heard concerns about performance in Python.
Yes, a lot of people voice that concern. Some want compiled languages like Go or Rust for better performance.
Totally makes sense. And how about installation processes? Did that come up?
For sure. Folks mentioned that pip can be problematic, suggesting binary distribution would be better.
I get that. Mbake sounds like it's a step in the right direction for makefile management, but it also highlights some frustrations with that format overall.
Exactly. There's a push for modern alternatives while recognizing that it's an improvement over past tools.
Well, this has been an enlightening chat. It's interesting to see how these topics interconnect in technology, art, and business decisions.
Absolutely. Thanks for having this conversation.
Anytime. Let's do this again sometime.